Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour on this Thursday. Next man up. 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. Lots of Titans talk today. We'll get back to the Titans later on, but football season is here, and when Vandy football hits the field, we have to talk to our guy, Andrew Allegretta, the voice of the Commodores, joining us now. Andrew, thanks for taking some time. Hope you're doing well. Crazy to believe we are a little bit over 48 hours away from kickoff.
What's going on, Jake? I assume, I don't know, is TD still there? What's
yes, he is.
On? I'm here. I am here What's with up? You, man. What's up with you?
What's up?
We're happy to have you on, Andrew. It feels like it's been a long off season, but also feels like it kind of snuck up on me. What have been your impressions in general watching this team through fall camp on what this year's version of Vanderbilt is going to look like?
I think first and foremost, the defense certainly stands out to me. I think it has stood out to the coaching staff as well. It's a really experienced defense. I think one of the things, TD, that I've noticed throughout the course of fall camp is just the sheer volume of NFL scouts at our practice. It has been unlike anything that we have seen over here at McGugan in, I don't know, at least since I've been here in 2021. There's a bevy of guys out there that NFL scouts are interested in, and a lot of them are on defense. Now, what that means in terms of where they go, who knows? But the talent is there. The linebacking group is really deep. They've got guys that can get after the quarterback. They've got guys that can step up and stop the run. They also have a secondary that's probably the best that Clark has had since he's gotten here. You've got Martel Hyde on one side. You've got Jordan Matthews on another side. They've got some depth at that position. The safeties are pretty good. I think it allows defensive coordinator Steve Gregory to be way more aggressive, more multiple, less too high safeties in what he does defensively. So I'm optimistic about how the defense might be able to kind of carry the load for Vanderbilt here this season. It's certainly early on.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the defense brings back a lot of talent, brings in some players in the portal, and could be really strong this year. But of course, Andrew, all eyes are going to be on the quarterback on Saturday. Clark has explained kind of the process that went into Blaise Berlewitz being named the starter, Jared Curtis going to play. How do you expect that to play out on Saturday against Austin Peay, as both those guys are expected to get reps?
I certainly don't know. I think one of the things that Clark has touched on is he's not married to any sort of this person gets two series and then this person gets one. I've been in games where that's happened before, not here at Vanderbilt, but at previous stops where the starting quarterback gets this number of series, the backup gets this, and they kind of go from there. I think one of the things that has been so good about either Clark or Tim Beck is how adaptable both of them are to both the players that they have on the field in terms of how they're going to structure and scheme based on that. It's not one system that we're trying to take a square peg into a round hole. There's a philosophy, but they're very malleable, and that's great. And the other thing is they're very adjustable within games. Like, they've got a great feel for game flow. They manage the clock really well. They manage situations pretty well. So I don't know. I certainly expect, like Coach has said, like has been reported, both of those guys will play. The basic skinny, of course, for anybody is that Blaise Berlewitz has displayed a level of system proficiency that Jared is working toward. That's because Blaise has been in the system for 4 years now. He needs to be more consistent. He's got to take care of the football. Jared's uber talented. He's really fun to watch, but it's the operation. It's how he gets in and out of the huddle. It's all of that basic stuff that he is clearly developing and getting better at. But, you know, I don't think anybody faults someone stepping into the SEC for the first time that there's going to be some level of growth, and he's done a great job growing. It's just part of the process.
You're around these guys, so you know. How has Jared Curtis been? Obviously a five-star guy. You know, everybody wanted him. He came here, but he's not starting. How has he handled that part of it?
I'm certainly cautious to, like, put myself in between his ears. Like, that's for Jared to speak on.
Well, from your observation, of course.
Yeah, no, of course. And I do kind of, like, just caveat because I don't want to speak for Jared. What I can observe is just what I see at practice. He is a really driven, motivated, competitive, but also humble and good kid. Like, if there's a level of frustration or whatever it happens to be, I don't know that you'd be able to pick it up just by watching practice. Like, he's handled it really, really well. He's thoughtful. I think, and perhaps, TD, you can speak to this, too, on guys that are forced because of their skills to, like, emotionally mature faster mm-hmm. than other people, mm-hmm. right? Like, Jared has been in the spotlight for a long time. I think his emotions are, again, just from watching him on the practice field, like, you can tell that he's been required to mature in a way that other people aren't necessarily asked to do because of his status. And at least, again, just watching on the practice field, he passes those tests with flying colors. It's a really good group of guys.
That's great to hear. Now, obviously, you look at the offense, and they lost quite a few players. You talked about quarterback, but, you know, how are they going to replace some of the running back that they lost, the tight end that they lost? You know, these guys are going to be playing on Sundays now. How are they going to replace them?
Yeah, so to me, actually, it's a little bit of a 50-50. There's no doubt about the void that you lose with Diego Pavia, the void that you lose with Eli Stowers. Those are really big ones. And Trey Richardson was coming along late for Vanderbilt as a wide receiver. He now plays for Louisville. I would say what we do return is potentially, I think we feel, depending on how the offensive line sort of comes together and gel, because it's a new group there too, we do return what we feel like could be one of the better running back combos in the SEC with Cedric Alexander, who we certainly feel is just like beyond underrated because of his ability to do all three phases of run, pass, pass catch, and then block. Like he's an elite third down blocker, elite at the running back position. And then we've got a home run hitter in MK Young. And we also feel like we've got some pretty special depth with somebody like James L. Lassiter, who's small but outrageously quick. I guess the easy comp is like the Darren Sproles type. Hmm. I don't know if that's fair, but like he's small, but boy, is he quick. And then a freshman in Evan Hampton, who's the Kentucky Gatorade Player of the Year from last year out of Owensboro. You know, the 5-for-5 rule is somewhat interesting, right? In the past, you'd have to kind of be guarded about red shirts, playing 4 games, when do you play, all that sort of stuff. That's not really part of the equation. You've got somebody like Evan Hampton, and I'm not saying he's in a featured role, but he's clearly popped during fall camp, and it allows Tim Beck and Clark Lee to use those guys differently because you're not quite as, you know, cautious with the redshirt. They've got they've got 5 years. Like, go get it. So I'm looking forward to those guys.
If I could ask real quick, because this is semi-personal, Chris Sanders invited me to Montgomery Bell multiple times to watch this young man, Claiborne Richards, and I know he transferred there. Anything from him this camp?
You know, I don't know. That's a question for Alex Bailey, the wide receiving coach. He's made good catches. I've noticed him. I will tell you.
I mean, again, like your observation. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I'm talking to you. I'm asking for your observation, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I've noticed him. I don't know what that's going to translate. I think, you know, sometimes when he clearly transfers in likely as a bit of a depth piece for them, mm-hmm. and that's totally fine. But when you've got some of these, you know, quote unquote perceived depth pieces, but like you get out there and he's made some really good catches. He's been noticeable. Like, I don't know what that translates to, but again, just to have a perceived depth piece that you see making plays on the practice field, it becomes interesting to see what happens.
We're talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Andrew, we had Junior Sherrill on the show yesterday, and
yeah, Junior.
I do think that he flies under the radar a little bit because you did have Eli Stowers last year and Diego Pavia, and they were the stars of that offense. But with them gone and now Trey Richardson moving on as well, do you think he can be a focal point of this passing game and really a reliable target for whoever ends up being the quarterback long term this year?
I mean, he's got to be. He just has to be. I mean, I think of all of the people that we've watched in fall camp, Jake, that are the most like professionalized and consistent in their routines. You talk about someone that feels like they have system mastery or position mastery. I'm not saying he doesn't need to get better, but in the college game, the way that he handles himself every single snap, every single practice, the way that he takes his reps, man, he feels really put together this season. The challenge for him, of course, is does he sit on an island? I don't know. I don't think he sits on an island because they've added some transfers like Connor, who's a tight end, and Thomas, a wide receiver, and Coleman's back as a wide receiver. There's pieces out there that I think will take the pressure off, plus the running game. But he certainly elevates to wide receiver number one in a way that, or target number one, in a way that he wasn't last year with Eli Stowers. So how does he handle that? That becomes the really big question. But he seems really locked in fall camp, and I'm excited. Again, a Nashville kid making an impact in a program that oftentimes, at least in years past, was kind of shrugged off by by chunks of Nashville. The number of Nashville kids that have elevated this program is really fun, and Junior's one of them.
Last one for you, Andrew. I know, as we said earlier, everybody's got their eyes on the quarterbacks in week one, just not having seen Blaze or Jared in a game setting yet. But outside of that, what are you most interested to see in this game against Austin Peay on Saturday?
Offensive line, run game. Like, can we establish the run? Can we be a tone setter? Because obviously it's going to take some time for this unit to gel just because so much of it is so new. The only returning piece is Cade McConnell, one of the guards. They need to gel, but can we just have some physical dominance and move the defensive line of Austin Peay? It's a really good team. I'm excited to see MK Young. I've talked to you about him specifically, yep. Jake. Like, I think he's got a chance to be, I don't know if breakout star is the right phraseology or whatever, because he's been on the roster. Again, he's been in a 1B type of role, as Clark told us the other day, behind Cedric Alexander. But, man, he's a home run hitter. He's gotten better at blocking. Like, I think he's going to see his carries go off. I'm excited to watch him play coming up on Saturday.
Andrew, as always, appreciate your insights. Excited for game one of the new season Saturday, 6 o'clock kick. You can hear Andrew, Norm, Kevin, the whole crew at 4:30 right here on 102.5 The Game. Andrew, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again next week.
As always, Jake, TD, good to talk to you guys.
Appreciate you.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, our guest. We'll react to what Andrew had to say, but first, if you're listening, want to go to the Vandy game on Saturday, here we go. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, and you can win a pair of tickets to see Vanderbilt and Austin Peay this Saturday at First Bank Stadium. Again, caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.